Malachi chapter 3, and we're going to be reading verses 8 through 11. And we'll also look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. So if you can have those passages of Scripture open, you'll be able to follow along with the message from God's Word. Before we do that, just want to give you a little report for those of you who are wondering how it's going with Pastor and his cancer. Just got a chance to talk to Dr. Lieberman on Friday, and he needed me to get another cystoscopy where he can see for himself what's going on, the blockage, whatever you want to call it, in the urethra. And he says when he finishes looking at that cystoscopy, then he can sit down with me and let me know what he's able to or willing to do as far as surgery. So thank you for your prayers. And again, we really don't have a whole lot of information until that cystoscopy, which is supposed to take place this week. After that, Brenda and I will take off after the Christmas program and go down south. We haven't seen Brenda's parents in quite a while, and so they need a visit. And Brenda's sort of tied to me because there's a lot of things I can't do without her. And so I want to make sure she gets a chance to see her parents. And we'll also get to see two of our children and their families. So we'll be about 2 weeks gone and then be back for the first Sunday in January. So this kind of gives you an idea of what's happening this season. However, even though I'll be gone, we're thankful that Dito or Rolando the Fourth will be able to preach for me. And so things will go on as usual, on schedule. So I hope that you will attend and benefit from God's word. All right. In the second message in this series, we studied Malachi chapter 3. Verses 8 through 11, where we saw that God was very displeased with his people because of their failure to give God his tithe. Among other things, we were reminded that tithing has always been God's appointed means, both in the Old Testament and New Testament, for supporting the worship of God, the house of God, and the servants of God. We also noted that God not only commanded that we give tithes, but also offerings. Although God clearly quantifies the tithe, one-tenth of all our income, he does not quantify the offerings. There's no specified amount or percentage. The amount you give will be a reflection of your love for your Lord and your trust in his ability to guide you in what to give and to provide you with the means to give it. And this is why we call it a faith offering. We learned from researching the Old and New Testaments that these offerings were regular, not just occasional, and are the means God uses to build or purchase or renovate a place of worship and to furnish it, to support the spread of the gospel around the world, and to meet special needs of believers in other parts of the country or the world. And as I said last week, I pray that as you come to understand the faith of giving, the Lord would give you courage and joy in this next step of growth in your love for and trust in your wonderful Lord, who is a giving God. Having covered the principles of faith giving last Sunday, we'll now cover the practice of faith giving. As we read in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40, but all things must be done properly and in an orderly manner. So, how do we go about this faith giving in a proper and orderly manner? First, we need to prepare our hearts. Notice the example set by the believers in Macedonia, and that, of course, is referring to the churches in Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, if you have your Bibles open to that passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 5, let me read that for us out loud while you follow along in your heart as you read it in your heart. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. And this not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. They first gave themselves to the Lord. We'll explore this statement in a minute, but make a mental note of it right now, if you will. And to us by the will of God. When you have given yourself to the Lord, you will then gladly make yourself available to help those who are serving the Lord. The phrase, the grace of God, joy and liberality, beyond their ability they gave, all these phrases here point to the fact that it is God's grace which is the enablement for joy and generosity. Gave of their own accord, begging us for the favor of participation in. There's no hint here of coercion or guilt trips or manipulation. They were eager to give. We cannot give in a way that glorifies God unless we prepare our hearts in the same way the Macedonians did. Have you given yourself to the Lord? What does this mean in a New Testament context? It means you have first given up your pride, your self-righteousness, your own way, and have humbled yourself before God and accepted his verdict that you are a sinner deserving of hell. You have accepted his way of salvation, that God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, died in your place on the cross, paid for your sin, and puts to your account his own righteousness. You have accepted his gift of eternal life by repenting of your sins and trusting in Jesus Christ alone to save you from sin and hell. Not Jesus Christ plus baptism, not Jesus Christ plus giving in the church offering, not Jesus Christ plus doing good works, but Jesus Christ alone. The Lord Jesus, when he died on the cross, said, "It is finished." There's nothing more that you and I can do to add to his salvation. It is a free gift. If you've not yet done this, if you've not then repented of your sins and trusted Christ alone to save you from sin and hell, then you have not given yourself to the Lord at all. But if you have given yourself to the Lord in the matter of salvation, then that's only the first step. Giving yourself to the Lord means that you have surrendered your will to him. You have surrendered your own ideas and your own agenda, your goals, and put yourself under the authority of his word. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. If there's anything in God's word that you are not agreeing with, or you are rationalizing away, or are giving yourself an excuse not to obey it, then you have not given yourself to the Lord. If you have given yourself to the Lord, then you know that you do not belong to yourself. In fact, your body and all that you have belong to the Lord to do with as he desires and for his glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. When you truly recognize that you do not belong to yourself, but to the Lord, when you remember that he bought you with a great price, his own precious blood shed on the cross of Calvary, when you truly rejoice in the free pardon of all your sins, the new nature he has given you, the new family you belong to, and the new home in heaven awaiting you, then you have truly given yourself to the Lord. When you have given yourself to the Lord, then you too will enter fully into every part of the Lord's work. You will desire to become a member of a biblical local church and be at every service you are able to attend and look for ways to serve. By the way, we're so thankful that the one silver lining on the COVID epidemic that hit us is that it caused us to connect with Zoom. And there are many folks now who are able to attend virtually, even though they cannot be here physically. So what a blessing for that. So I hope that if you're not here physically, you at least are connected on Zoom. When you've given yourself to the Lord, then you too, like the Macedonian believers, will give joyfully to the work of the Lord. Faith giving will be a natural expression of your joyful surrender to the Lord. Having said that, please understand that the principles we've just covered are general principles for believers who are free to make all these decisions on their own. Some exceptions to this would include wives of unsaved husbands and children with an unsaved father. The unsaved man in these situations can forbid or at least hinder a saved wife or saved child from obeying the Lord in the matter of giving to the Lord. God's word would seem to indicate that the wife should obey the husband and allow the Lord to work in the heart of this husband. And the same goes for a child in relation to his father. Don't be discouraged, but rather ask the Lord to use your obedience as a testimony to win that lost husband or father to the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, read this way: In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. One other principle I would add here for a wife of an unsaved husband and for a child with an unsaved father, this principle coming from Daniel chapter 1, that you may respectfully request that unsaved husband or dad to allow you to give what you believe God wants you to give. It may be that God will soften his heart to the point that he will allow you to give what God burdens you to give. I hope if you aren't familiar with Daniel chapter 1 and what took place there, that you will read it, not right now, but after the service, and see that Daniel very respectfully requested. He didn't get in anybody's face and demand his rights, but rather respectfully requested that something should take place. And this is the way we should treat these situations. So, in review, the question we are answering in this message is this: how do we go about this faith giving in a proper and orderly manner? First, by preparing our hearts. Secondly, we need to pray. We need to ask God to show us how much he wants to give through us. James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, we read this: But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith, without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Ask God whether he wants you to give on a weekly or biweekly or monthly basis, Giving your tithe will be dictated by how often you receive income. But for your faith-giving offerings, God may show you something different. Ask God to show you the exact amount He wants you to trust Him for every week, or every 2 weeks, or every month. Ask God to show you this by the last Sunday of December in order to enable us as a church together to plan properly. We need to ask God to show us to what biblical use this money should go, building fund or missions or special needs. On the faith giving card, if you have one, if not, there are some on the back table. And if you don't have one and you really need to see it in front of your face, just kind of raise your hand and Rolanda will get you one and make sure that you can see it from where you are. So on your faith giving card, you'll notice two of the three biblical uses for these offerings. To help us repair this building and make needed changes, like those needed in the two bathrooms, a large project of replacing our roof and replacing windows and siding, especially the front siding of our church. The second use, to support missionaries like the Edgars, the Mannings, and the Berasungars, and perhaps short-term missions projects. And thirdly, to help relieve the needs of believers in other places. Now, these particular ones are usually one-time appeals for help that come to our attention as a need arises. And that's happened over the years here. We try to make you aware of those needs, and often you will give toward that, and we send it on to those who have need. So these are best handled as special offerings at the time needed rather than a year-long commitment. So the first two, the building fund and missions, are the ones that we're focusing on today. Ask God to show you what to indicate on the card, the distribution of amounts that should go to the two main purposes, maybe 100% to missions, or maybe 50-50 between missions and building, or some other combination or percentages, whatever God shows you. We need to ask God for increased faith to trust Him each week or every 2 weeks or every month to provide. Once again, the example of the Macedonian believers is an encouragement to us. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 2 and 3, that they were experiencing great persecution and poverty. Great persecution and poverty. Of all possible times and circumstances, you would think these were the conditions when they would have been gritting their teeth and hoarding the few resources left to them. Instead, we see in these verses that they abounded in joy and generosity. Why? Well, as we see repeatedly in Scripture, God uses testings and trials to increase His people's faith. The trials they were enduring whenever they responded biblically motivated them to look to God alone. I've mentioned this before, but when God sent me cancer, my response was not, "What? Why did you do this, God? Here I've been serving you and you do this to me? How dare?" No. Trials and testings increase our faith so that I know God is in control and He has a good purpose in all of this. And the same thing should happen in your heart and life if you know the Lord personally as Savior, contrary to what the world expects that should happen in your heart and life. You respond with faith, and God sends trials to increase your faith, to test it and increase it. Therefore, as these Corinthians looked to God, they understood His character and power more fully. And as they learned to know Him better, their faith in Him increased in the same proportion. There will perhaps be times in the next 12 months when God will test your faith. You will experience an unexpected expense or shortfall That will send your budget into a tailspin. That's precisely when you will be tempted to ask yourself, did I get it wrong? Did God really impress on my heart to give $100 a month over and above my tithe for missions for the building fund? But if you will bring that thought captive to the obedience of Christ and keep your eyes on the Lord and ask Him for greater grace, enablement to keep trusting Him, you will see Him provide and will see your faith grow stronger. By the way, exercising faith in the area of giving is only one aspect of faith living. You should be learning to exercise your faith in every area and aspect of your life. To review, the question we're answering in this message is this: how do we go about this faith giving in a proper and orderly manner? First, by preparing our hearts. Secondly, by praying. Thirdly, we need to decide as a church which missionaries to support this coming year. As the Lord impresses each of us with the amount He wants to give through each of us, we need to write that amount down on the card provided by the last Sunday of December. Some of you have already turned in your cards, and that's fine. If you know that soon, wonderful. However, by the last Sunday of December, we would really love to have those cards so we can start planning. This enables us as a church body to know the total amount God wants to give to this church to support missions. And as I said last Sunday, these cards are anonymous. That means you don't put your name down what you turn in. We won't come looking for you saying, hey, how come you put down this and you didn't give? No, we're not going to do that. It's between you and the Lord. We simply are trying to get an idea of how to plan, how many missionaries to support, so forth. So it enables us to form a missions budget for the coming year. More specifically, this guides us in deciding how many missionaries to support and for how much. At our annual business meeting that will take place the last Sunday afternoon of January, we will vote on which missionaries to support and for how much. By God's grace and provision and your faithful giving, we've been supporting two missionary families this year through our faith giving. We, of course, will continue supporting them according to the guidelines we voted on several years ago. For those of you who were not here back then, basically, we voted that as our faith giving increased, we would continue to increase the support of each of our current missionaries until they reached $200 per month. When all of our current missionaries have reached that amount, then we can take on a new missionary. We also voted to not lower the support of any of our missionaries, even if our faith giving dropped below the needed level, unless the church was at the point of not being able to meet its other obligations. We praise the Lord that so far we have not had to lower the support of either of our two missionary families that we currently support through faith giving. In fact, because of monthly designated giving, we as a church have actually been supporting the Barasingars as well. They're not under our faith giving, they're under designated giving. So keeping in mind that the Lord may bless us with an increase in our faith giving over what is needed to support our current missionaries, we also have had a number of missionaries who have presented their ministries to us in the past, who have shared their burden for what the Lord has called them to do. And we would choose an additional missionary from this list. Now, if the total amount from the faith giving commitment cards indicate we can increase the number of missionaries we can support, we will review their ministries and their needs so that we can see the big picture and be better able to let the Lord impress us which one we are to support. Now, some of you are really into math. How many of you are really into math? Am I the only one? Oh, anyway, say $410 a month come in under faith giving. What do we do with that extra 10? Well, we would take on a third missionary family for $10 a month. You say, that's so pitiful. Yes, well, it's a start. And so as the faith giving increases, we can increase that third missionary's support until we reach 200. Does that make sense? Everybody get that? All right. Now, in that case, we'll then pray and ask God to lead us in deciding which additional missionary to support. After that, we will vote on which missionaries to support this coming year. And this faith offering that we are committing to give is for a period of 12 months. Next December, I pray that our faith will have grown even more to where we will give even more than this coming year. And we will be able to raise the support we give to these missionaries if they aren't already at 200, or add even more missionaries to those we support this coming year. However, each year will be treated as a new opportunity and a new commitment. In a few minutes, I'll give you instructions concerning these faith-giving commitment cards. But first, before that, would you please bow your heads and close your eyes? The service is not over. Don't get your coats and put them on yet, but please, just quietly listen to the Lord speak into your heart. Perhaps you're listening to this message and the Lord has been working in your heart, showing you that you need to take care of the matter of your salvation. I plead with you not to put it off any longer. Make sure today that your sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven, and that you have eternal life, that you belong to the Lord and have a home in heaven waiting for you. If you want to make sure of this, would you please let me know by raising your hand if you're in the audience, or if you're listening to this later on the internet, would you contact me? The information is there, the contact information, so that I can help you. Is there anyone? Pastor, please pray for me. I'm not sure about salvation, but I want to make sure. Would you pray for me? I won't embarrass you, won't point you out, but I will know to pray for you. For those of you who know the Lord personally as your Savior, has he been working in your heart through something you've heard in the course of this message? Has the Lord shown you that you need to surrender more fully to him, to let him direct every area of your life? Will you respond to him and tell him right now in the quietness of this moment? Just pray, Lord, you've shown me this, and I want to obey it. I want to follow your leading, your guiding, your prompting. If this is what you're telling the Lord right now, or have just told him, would you be willing to allow me to be your witness of this step of consecration? Pastor, I want you to know that I've told the Lord that I will obey him in some manner. Would you pray for me that I can be faithful? Is there anyone? Christian, has the Lord been working in your heart in the matter of faith giving? Are you willing to take the step of faith and ask God to show you what he wants to give through you? Perhaps you're understanding that God wants you to give, but perhaps until now you have not even started with tithing, which is the foundation of your giving as a believer. If that's what you need to do, then tell the Lord right now, Lord, I will obey you in the matter of tithing. And by your grace, I will grow in my understanding of faith giving. If you believe the Lord is leading you to pray these next few weeks and ask God to show you what he would have you commit to give over and above your tithes, and you're going to take one of the faith-giving cards to write down what the Lord shows you, would you let me know by raising your hand? God spoke to my heart, Pastor. By God's grace, I'm going to take one of these cards. Now I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask the Lord to show me, and I'll do what he shows me. Would you pray for me, Pastor, that I would be faithful in this? Is there anyone? I'm assuming that everyone already is committed to this. And so let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love, for your mercy, your grace, especially in the matter of salvation. Thank you, Lord, that you spoke to my heart as a seven-year-old boy in Vineland, New Jersey. And as I listened to Pastor Develde preach about hell, my heart was stirred. And even though it was out of fear, I knew that it was true. And so I asked my dad after I went to bed that night to show me how to be saved, and he did. What a blessing to know the Lord answers the prayer of someone who trusts Jesus to save them. Perhaps the Lord speak into your heart about that. Would you respond? Dear Lord, I pray that you would give strength to those who are wavering, to those who are holding back, to those who are afraid. Lord, I pray that you'd remove the fear. How often you've said in your word, fear not, fear not, fear not. We should have nothing to do with fear, except our fear of the Lord, which is a reverence, a loving fear. Lord, I pray that you would work in every heart who needs to trust you as Savior. Father, for those who have trusted you as Savior, but they have not yet obeyed you in the matter of tithing, I pray they would see their need to obey in this. Perhaps things have been going rough for them financially, and they have not recognized that it is the Lord showing them that they are disobeying in this matter. Lord, I pray that they would obey in this. Give them strength and faith to trust you in this. And then, Lord, for those who are tithing but are satisfied with that and have not considered faith giving, I pray that you'd work in their hearts, Lord. May they see this not as something that's arm-twisting them into giving more, but Lord, just like the Corinthian Christians, they would be eager and joyful in giving to you, knowing that you will provide. I pray that you would do the work in every heart that's needed for your glory and for our growth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.